just once. I said to somebody yesterday, I feel like I was coming home today. So thank you for having me back. You've got me a few more times this year. If you don't like that, speak to me this year. So thank you. So this morning we're going to... last week was Pentecost. I'm assuming you did Pentecost last week. Am I right? Fabulous. So I wanted to carry on with the theme of Pentecost a little bit and a bit of what happened after the first Pentecost. And this evening, if you're here this evening, we'll be looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit and about how the Spirit moves. But this morning I want to look at what happened very soon after Pentecost to one particular man on one particular day. So we're going to read this morning from Acts chapter 3 verses 1 to 11, if you've got a Bible with you this morning. Acts chapter 3 verses 1 to 11. Acts 3, 1 to 11 says this: Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gates, the one called the Beautiful Gates, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized that he was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gates, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed in amazement to Solomon's colonnades, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that this word is as relevant to us today as it was back then. That we can understand more about you through this word. And so, Father, we pray today, as we've heard your word, as we listen to the words that we believe that you have given for this day, Lord, we pray that we would be attentive to your word, that we would put all thoughts, all concerns, all everything from this past week and that which is to come this week, we would put it to one side, and that in this time, Lord God, our thoughts would be solely concentrated on you. Open our ears, Lord, that we might hear you. Open our heart, Lord, that we might invite you in. Open our lives, Lord God, that we might give them to you. And then as we leave from here, Lord God, open our mouths that we might speak your words to this dark, hurting world that needs to know you. Speak to us, we pray, in your name and for your glory. Amen. Children have got a fantastic imagination, haven't they? I don't know whether you've spent time around children, listen to them maybe in a doorway when they're playing together, listening to their conversations. More often than not, you will hear, "Well, pretend I did this." And then you can pretend that you did that. And the pretend will go on and on and on, and their imaginations will run wild. And in no time at all of a sudden, they've transported themselves from this place here and now into this imagination world where everything is wonderful and filled with cyborgs and all those wonderful things. So they've got this wonderful imagination that will transport them from here now to somewhere else. Well, this morning I want you to channel your inner child. I want you to use your imagination. Because this morning I want you to come with me and join our friend sitting at the temple gate. I want you this morning to sit yourself down next to him. I want you this morning to imagine and to experience what life was like from his viewpoint. It wasn't just a one-off visit to the temple. This friend of ours would have been taken to the temple day after day after day to sit, to wait, and to beg. Some translations of this story this morning say it's the ninth hour. This translation said it was 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know whether... Has anybody been to Jerusalem? I've been there. It's wonderful, isn't it? Whether you've been there or whether you haven't, I want you to understand. I was there in January, not this year, some years ago. And even at that time of the year, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's hot, it's sticky, it's muggy, it's noisy. Jerusalem is a busy place. And I can tell you from experience that Jerusalem is not the place that you want to be caught up in going in the opposite direction where everybody else is going to pray. Because then it can be quite scary, it can be quite intimidating. Because there's people everywhere going backwards and forwards. The noise, the chatter, the shouting is immense. Everywhere you look, people are shouting, people are rushing, people are talking, all going to the temple to pray. And our friend is sat on the floor, waiting. I wonder whether you're there yet in your own imagination. Listen to the crowd. Allow yourself this morning to be part of the hustle and the bustle of the people pushing and shoving, to be in the right place at the right time. And still our friend, who has no name, is sat on the floor, waiting. Waiting for someone to notice him. Waiting for someone to stop. Waiting for someone to give him some money. Waiting to be treated as normal, whatever normal is. And what would he have seen? I wonder what you can see as you sat there waiting with him. Maybe it's the feet of the people rushing past. Nothing more than feet. Maybe you've got a glimpse of their sandals under all their clothing. Maybe you've just seen their clothing trailing along the floor behind them. Still, he's waiting. And you know, all this waiting is not going to change his situation. Because our friend is as he is. He's unable to get up, unable to walk, And maybe as far as he is concerned, this is how he is going to be for the rest of his life. And all he can do is wait. In the dust. We've all had to wait for something, haven't we? We all know what it's like to wait. Some of us are good at waiting. Some of us are hopeless at waiting. Now, I'm not talking about the time when you're waiting for a bus that you're guaranteed is going to turn up at some point today, probably with three or four at the same time. I'm not talking about when you're waiting in the queue in the supermarket, when that frustration is building. Yes, I am talking about myself because I hate it. And the frustration is building because you think, I've got so much to do with my life than stand in a queue in the supermarket. My life is so busy, I haven't got time to stand in a queue. But I'm not talking about maybe the time when you're waiting with that excitement with a child who is eager to open like birthday presents or Christmas presents all wrapped in sparkling paper. But that's really exciting, but there's still a waiting game beforehand. I'm not talking maybe about the times when we've waited for our loved one or our best friend or somebody else that we love to come home from a holiday and the excitement is just building because you know that you're going to see them again. I'm not talking about that sort of waiting. I'm talking about the times when we've waited where it seems there's never going to be an end to our waiting. Maybe it's the time where you've waited for your children to come home and you've been lying in bed waiting for the key to turn in the door. Or maybe it was worse for you. You waited and waited and sometimes the days just ticked on. And they've not come home. Or maybe you found yourself in a difficult, bad relationship and you waited thinking that things were going to change and you hoped and you prayed that one day you would have a better life. If you just waited in this situation, it would change. Or maybe you waited for your loved ones to come home from the war. And you waited. Or maybe you've waited and sat beside somebody that you love in a hospital bed. And you've waited. My maternal grandfather and I were really close. And he had quite a massive heart attack. And for 4 days, we waited. And those days in my world just went on forever. And finally, I was alone with him. I prayed with him. I talked with him. And eventually, we withdrew treatment. And for 2 hours and 41 minutes, I waited as he decided that he wanted to carry on breathing. And he tried. And he struggled. And I waited as he left from this world to find his peace and eternal rest with his Saviour. Most of us know a time like that when we've waited. When we think and we know that things are just not going to get any better. And as we think about those times that we've waited, we can begin to imagine what it's like for our friend here at the entrance to the temple, crippled from birth, as he waited. Maybe he's been rejected by society, sitting and waiting. Maybe he spent hours wondering where on earth is God in this situation. Maybe he's sitting there wondering whether God was ever going to intervene. Maybe, is God ever going to do anything in his life to make it better? A few years ago, I was playing rugby on the beach, you know, as you do. Having been told when I was 16 that I would never play rugby again because I would probably end up in a wheelchair. Well, I wasn't prepared to accept that. So I was playing rugby on a beach in the south of France with some friends, and my friend didn't know how to fall properly. You know, in rugby, you've got to fall a particular way. She fell the wrong way, and my head got in the wrong place, and I slipped a disc in my neck. And I lay on the beach, and I waited. I was thinking, can my toes move? Can my fingers move? Can I move? Is my head okay to move? And then for 6 weeks afterwards, I lay flat on my back, and I waited, wondering what was God actually doing. In the back of my head, I was going, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I knew I was told I shouldn't have done it, but I did it, and now here I am. And then a few years ago, rugby incident again, slipped a disc in the base of my spine, and had to have major surgery, and I waited for 4 months, wondering, what is God doing in me? You know, that was nothing compared to what our friend has gone through sitting at the temple gate. I suppose, like many of us, this friend of ours now, who we're friendly with, sitting next to him at the temple gate, maybe he was beginning to think that God wasn't going to work in his situation. He's been waiting for so long. He's been asking for so long. Maybe he got to the point where he even doubted the existence of God. Maybe waiting for so much time had begun to take its toll on him. But the Bible then tells us that one day, as he was waiting, Peter and John turned up on their way to the temple. Now, I love the fact that it didn't say, on a special day, on a feast day, on a high day, on a really exciting day in the calendar of the temple. It was on one day. One day, these two men turned up on their way to the temple, and this turned out to be the day when our friends saw God was at work in his life. And you know what is exciting about this one day? It was a day that he hadn't expected. A day that he hadn't planned for. A day, my gosh, he had waited for. But he hadn't planned for it. This one day, Peter and John reached out to this man. It was one day where he wasn't waiting for anything out of the ordinary to happen. It was one day when perhaps he thought his life would never change. He wasn't looking for it, and he certainly, you can't have that. He certainly wasn't expecting that anything could change in his life because he'd been waiting for so long. But then it happened. Peter and John stopped, and they gave our friend what he needed. I love the imagery in this picture, because I don't think for 1 minute Peter and John would have walked up to him, stopped and looked at him and gone, oh, you're down there on the floor. Do you know what I think they would have done? I think they would have got down on the floor with him, and I think they would have gone down in the dust with him, and I think they would have got dirty with him, and I think that they would have been kicked as they'd been walked past, as they were walking, people walking past them. And I think they would have gone to meet this man where he was. On that day, God did something amazing. And you know, do you know what? That same God that was at work in this man's life, our friend's life, that same God is at work today in our lives. But sometimes we just don't realize it. Sometimes we're too busy doing stuff. We don't notice that God is at work. Sometimes we just have to listen that bit more. Listen that bit harder. God is working today when he's restoring broken families. God is working today every morning when we pull the curtains back and we go, my gosh, there's a new day. God is at work when he gives us a new day. I used to live in Swansea, right? This is nothing to do with my sermon, I just want to tell you. I used to live on the top of the hill in Swansea, and I used to look out in the morning, and I could see all the way up to Brecon if I looked forward. If I looked down to the right, I could look all the way down to the beach. It was just perfect. We moved up to Cardiff the first morning I lived here. I opened the curtains and went, Owen, look! Somebody else's house. That is what we look at now. But do you know what? Every morning when you open the curtain and you see that God has granted you a new day, whether it's raining or not, it is a new day that God has granted you to do his work for his glory. Every day when you open the curtains, this is a day when God says, do you know what? You can serve me again for my glory. You can make a difference to the people in your community today for my glory. God is working in you like he has done for our friend. God is working in you when you stretch out your hand and when you get on the floor and when you get dirty with those who society has said, you know what, you're not worth it. You're not good enough. You don't conform. You don't fit. When you get down in the dirt and the dust with those people and you stretch out your hand to somebody who is in need, God is working in you. God is working when a drug addict or an alcoholic comes to the realization that they can no longer carry on the lives that they were living, and they call out to God and God answers them and God restores them. God is working when the child that you waited for, lying in bed waiting for the key to turn in the lock, when that child comes home, God is at work. But you know, God doesn't always answer us in the way we want answers, does he? And he doesn't always answer us when we want our answers, because that would just be so much easier. It may make life so much easier if he answered us how we wanted him to and when we wanted him to. But God, you know, he doesn't work like that. It would be easy, wouldn't it, for us to pray and say, God, can you do this, do that? And oh, by the way, can you bless what I've already done? Thank you ever so much. Click my fingers and lo and behold, everything has been sorted out the way I wanted it to be. That would be easy. But that is not how God wants us to be. Sometimes, you know, we have to consciously put ourselves into the position where we are expectant people. Are you expectant people? Do you know, I think you are. I really do believe that you are. Expecting that God is going to work. Are you expecting God to do miracles? Are you a people who is expecting to see lives changed? I pray to goodness and to God and to everybody else that that is who you are. Be expectant people. This friend of ours, for donkey's years, has been taken to the temple and he expected that something would eventually happen. So let's go back to our friend at the temple gate. Still, he has got no name. Still, he's irrelevant to the world. Still, he sat watching the hustle and the bustle of the feet going past him. And he asks for money. And that was all he wanted. Money. And he thought that if he had the money that he needed, then everything would be okay. His life would be sorted out. But Peter and John came along. And they gave him so much more. They gave him something better. They gave him the use of his legs. Peter and John were not into healing the lame. They were not into doing miracles in their own strength. But Peter and John were calling on the name of the Lord. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, which he had seen moving previously on the day of Pentecost earlier on, through that power, our friend has been restored. You know, when we try and do things in our own strength, that is when we fail. But God is bigger. God is so much bigger than that. God is so much bigger than us, trying to do things in our own strength. You know that song, My God is So Big, So Strong and So Mighty? Did you sing that here? You're bound to. Yeah. Please, somebody nod at me. You're awake. Yeah, good, fab. Yeah, that song, My God is So Big, So Strong and So Mighty, there's nothing that he can't do. And I want to say to you this morning, so look to him. Look to him. Look to the one who created everything. Look to the one who is called the master craftsman and allow him to get on and do his work. Allow him to work and to claim men and women for himself. Because he's promised there's nothing that he can't do. You know, I thank God that I'm a work in progress. I thank God that this is not the finished article. You will be very glad to know that I'm not the finished article. But I'm going to tell you something now, neither are you. None of us are the finished article. This is not how God wants us to be for all time. Thank the Lord for that. Because he is continuing to work in us. He's not finished working in you. He's not finished working in me. Because the one who created all things, the one who created you and me, is still building. God still has a work to do in you. If you think that you've arrived, then God is going to turn things around in your life, because you have not arrived. You are not it. God is still doing a work in you. You know, we often ask God, don't we, to solve a small problem. Would you mind just sort of sorting that out? Would you mind blessing that? And as I've already said, would you mind blessing that which I've already done? That'd be great. Thank you very much. We give him the smaller stuff because we think maybe he can't cope with the bigger stuff, or he's too busy dealing with somebody else's bigger stuff. But I want to say to you this morning, God wants to do the big stuff. God wants to change us. God wants to give us new life. God wants to be the help for all our problems. When we ask God for help, he may say, do you know what? I've got something bigger for you. I've got something better for you. And I've got what you need, not what you think you want. And so, like our friend at the temple gate, be prepared. He asked for money and he was given something totally different. Be prepared. And don't miss out on what God is doing, because it's not what we expect him to do. God is at work the same way today as he was when he used Peter and John. And he may very well want to use you. He might want to use me to make a difference to somebody else. So be prepared. But, you know, it wasn't just the restoration and the use of his legs that God did. There was something else. Yes, he could walk again. But through the power of this Holy Spirit that they had now seen moving to create the beginning of the church, this once crippled friend of ours was now able to praise God. Because he saw God at work in his life. And you know what? As a result of what he saw and what happened, other people around him were also able to praise God too. They shared in his joy. They shared in his excitement. And in his excitement, our friend is beginning to run and to leap. And there's another song in that. We know that one too. And he praised God, didn't he? I don't think for one moment, if he'd been given the use of his legs, he would have gone, thank you ever so much. I'll keep that to myself. And I'll just move on. I don't think he would have done. I think he would have just made everybody know exactly what had happened. He praised God. And then, as he praised God, other people also were in awe of God's power. And when our waiting is over, and when our prayers have been answered, we will praise him again. You know, and when we praise him again, this is not something that we will do in secret. This is something we will do with those around us, those who have shared with us, those who have supported us, those who have been there for us in the middle of the night to listen and to listen and to listen. You know, when God answers our waiting and God answers our prayers, we're going to want to tell everybody whether or not they like to hear it or not. Because we're going to be so filled with his Spirit that it will just sort of explode. And everybody will know. You are going to want to share what God is doing in your life with other people. And this is exactly what our friend was doing. He was so excited. And maybe he was totally amazed about the work that God had been doing in his life, that he was going to make sure that everybody knew about it. So what do we learn from our friend about the work of God? Well, we need to remember that God is still at work. Just as much as he was then, he is now. Yes, there are times when we'll feel far away from him. Yes, there are times when we feel that he isn't listening. Yes, there will be times when we feel like God has forgotten us. And yes, there will be times when we look at our situation and we begin to question whether God has left us, whether he's left us to our own devices, whether he's stopped listening. But I want to say to you today, that is not the case. God is here, and he's listening, and he is working. You know, Peter and John, they could have easily have just walked past, like thousands of others had already done so, even just in that day alone. They could have just thought, somebody else's problem. They could have not noticed. But they didn't. And they stopped. And they helped. You know, as I say, I think they got down on the floor, putting their hand out to him, helping him up to his feet. I can't imagine for 1 minute they'd go, right, your legs are restored, now up you get. I can't imagine that that is what would have happened. They would have stopped, bent down, and pulled him up to his feet. And then they would have stayed. He would have stayed with our friend, sharing in his excitement and joy. I don't think for 1 minute they would have thought, right, job done, off we go. They stayed. And maybe as we go about our daily lives, maybe we could just stop and think for a moment and look around us and see who it is that is in need. And stop with those who are hurting. And get down in the dirt to those who would love to receive a word of encouragement. That we might stop and support those who are going through a difficult time. That we might stop and give reassurance to somebody. That we might put our arms out to somebody and show them that they're loved. While God is at work in our lives, whilst we allow him the opportunity of changing us, he could be using us to help in the lives of those around us. I want to say to you today, stop and wait and allow God to use you. Stop and wait and make space in your life and listen to him. That's what we're going to do now, just as our friend waited and waited. We're going to wait on him. It might take time. We're going to have a moment of quiet now. I'm going to stop talking. You'll be glad to know. But continue. Don't smile. Thank you. Continue waiting. And don't give up hope. Because he is listening. And he is working. So let's just be quiet before God and wait. So as we go about our lives this week, let us remember that God is at work. Let us see what God is doing. Let us be people who are listening to what God wants for our lives. Let us be prepared to be people who are prepared to help others. And when we see God working in our lives and in their lives, let us remember to praise and to thank him. And so pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Always be joyful. Keep on praying, no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus.